Section 3. Who do we need to submit a P11D or P9D form for? PAYS UN regulations require that forms P11Ds are submitted for specific groups of people, including, firstly, directors and certain other persons in controlling positions, regardless of their remuneration level. This would include anyone deemed to be a shadow director. The definition of director for this purpose excludes full-time working directors and any director of a charity or non-profit-making concern. By directors, it does not mean people with the title director who are not Companies Act directors. Indeed, as I was when I was at PKF and where I was the employment taxes director, but not a board director. The next group of people that are caught, and the wider group, of course, are any employees, including any of those excluded directors, so that will catch almost every director that would have been excluded. Anyone, in fact, who was paid at a rate of at least £8,500 a year. That £8,500 limit has been there since the previous Conservative government. And in arriving at that figure, we have to include all expenses, payments and benefits before deducting any allowable expenses. But after deducting any approved company pension contributions that would be deducted from gross salary, and after deducting any givers you earn donations. The £8,500 limit does have to be annualised for starters and leavers. We cannot just look at the payroll summary at the year end and decide that anyone below the figure of £8,500 doesn't require a P11D. Let me give you a simple example. John started work with A Limited on the 6th of October 2010, in other words, halfway through the tax year. His total earnings, as shown on the P14, was £7,500. And his medical insurance benefit for that period was £420, which would give him a total of £7,920, ignoring any expenses. If his expenses were less than £580, then his total earnings would be under the £8,500 limit. But when we multiply his total emoluments, that is the salary, benefit and expenses, by 12 months over the 6 month period that he worked for the company, we end up with a figure, obviously double, which is well over the £8,500 limit. And then we would have to report the medical benefit on his P11D. We would also have to report the expenses if they are not covered by a dispensation. John would be taxable on the benefit. John would have to claim a deduction for the expenses if there wasn't a dispensation. Still on this issue of the £8,500 limit, let's consider any employee earning less than at a rate of £8,500 in the tax year to 5th of April 2011. We may still require the completion of a Form P9D, although this will be quite rare. There is no need to report any expenses that were solely and necessarily incurred in the performance of the duties. Now, that is somewhat different to the Section 336 requirement of expenses incurred wholly, exclusively, and necessarily in the performance of the duties. And furthermore, for P9D employees, it is left to the employer to decide which expenses are solely and necessarily incurred. For any other expenses, therefore potentially some taxable expenses, we have nothing to report on the Form P9D if the total did not exceed £25. If, unusually, the employer paid an employee's personal national insurance contributions or any personal bill such as a telephone bill, that would strictly have to be reported on the P9D at Box 15. This is because it is a pecuniary liability where there would be liability for a P9D employee. There could be liability for any gifts in kind and anything bought for or paid to the employee other than at market value, and anything else not included elsewhere. Section B of the P9D covers vouchers and credit cards, including the excess of any childcare vouchers over the £55 per week or £243 per month tax-free limit. Although in all honesty, very few employers are likely to pay more than the £55 per week. There could be a reporting requirement for any travel and transport vouchers, gifts, meal and any other vouchers not exchangeable for cash. Remember, any vouchers exchangeable for cash should have pay-as-you-earn applied to them through the payroll. Section C of the P9D covers accommodation benefit, where we would have to provide the address, the rateable value, the rent and insurance paid, and the cash equivalent of the accommodation provided. The amounts would have to be entered in box 14 of the P9D. As far as accommodation benefit is concerned, I will cover this in more detail in the final series of the P11D podcast.